Hey, Mama, welcome to the Navigating Postpartum Wellness Podcast. This is a community where you can feel seen, heard, and supported with relatable mom content to help you prioritize your wellness. Whether it's managing stress, reducing burnout, or simply finding ways to take care of yourself, this space is for you. Here we focus on making small, manageable steps toward feeling like yourself again without adding more to your plate. I'm your host, Jeray Williams, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into this episode.
Welcome back to Navigating Postpartum Wellness Podcast. Today, we're diving into a topic that often gets overlooked, but it's absolutely essential: postpartum planning and the role of evidence-based research in postpartum wellness. So many moms prepare for birth, but what about the months that follow? Because you guys know I'm always talking about this. You always have to plan. I'm honored to be joined today by Dr. Kelsey Marr, a medical and reproductive anthropologist, doula, and the founder of Collective Care, a perinatal education company dedicated to empowering parents with research-backed information. Dr. Marr has worked with families across Canada and Sweden, and she is passionate about making evidence-based postpartum planning accessible to all. If you ever wondered how to find reliable postpartum research, what evidence actually says about postpartum care, and how to use this knowledge to plan for a smoother recovery, this episode is for you. So let's jump in. Hey, Dr. Marr.
Hey, Dre.
All right. So my first question for you, we're just going to jump in. What are some of the most common gaps in postpartum preparation that you see? I know there's a lot.
It's not... People have different priorities, right? And for a lot of us, really the reality is, unless we're living in multi-generational families or we're working in a birth-related profession, we have so little exposure to babies before we have our own. So how are you supposed to know what you don't know, right? I think something that I see a lot of my clients do, and the people that I work with, is they assume that their partner or their friend or their families are going to be active support people for them. And by support people, I mean looking after your mental and emotional health after birth, but I mean like also doing that heavy lifting of doing your laundry and feeding you and making sure you can sleep. And we make the assumption that, you know, our mom can come over and help us with that. But also our picture of postpartum is really just those 6 weeks immediately after birth. And in reality, it's like the end of those first 6 weeks and your support evaporates and suddenly you're on your own, not knowing how to balance all of life and having a baby at the same time.
Yeah. And like support looks different for each person, because honestly, for me with my first son, I didn't know what support looked like until I was in the thick of it. And I'm like, what do I actually need? And I think that's where the gap actually happens too, because you're like, you don't know what you need if you're a first time mom, because you're like, I haven't been there. Versus with my second son, I'm like, oh, this is what I need, blah 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 blah. Like I was like able to ask for what I needed, and I'm just like, there's a night and day difference,
right? Like do you need somebody to come over and do your laundry? Do you need to find out who your lactation consultant would be, or your pelvic physiotherapist, or hiring a postpartum doula? And so I think a lot of times too, it can be hard to set those boundaries of family and friend, where what we need postpartum is somebody to listen rather than somebody to give advice. Finding those help, like really when we say our support people, we mean helpers. We don't mean visitors.
Yes. And that's where I also come to, where I tell moms to have to build your own community. Like there's community for baby. Like everybody's always going to check on baby, but you have to have your people that they're like, if you hit them up, they're going to ask about how are you first? Like, what do you need? Or are you okay? Or being that listening ear? Cause even just now, like I have almost a 2 and a 4 year old, and I'm still like, I still need my community. Like, cause sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this, guys?
I mean, you are starting to see it on social media more and more, but postpartum isn't 6 weeks. It's the rest of your life, right? And we go through different seasons of postpartum. Definitely the newborn weeks look different than when they're 2 and 4, but you still need that community. And this is like, I am a strong believer that family is not something that we're meant to construct within nuclear households. We're not meant to do this on our own
at all, because it's a lot of work. Like, it's just people.
Exactly.
And I just wish that, you know, the conversation, which is what inspired me to start navigating postpartum wellness, because I wish more moms would have the exposure and the support and the resources to prepare. Because it's like, if I would have known a lot of this, I could have really, I wouldn't say I would have prevented, but I would have known more about it versus my first time I had postpartum depression. Because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm thinking like, oh, I have a baby, but I can still do the things I need to do, versus like having to make some changes. It's not a bad thing, but it's just like, your life is not going to look like the previous, but you can still learn how to work around it to have those two lives go together.
Exactly.
Yes. And so it says, many parents put so much effort into preparing for birth, or even thinking about like the baby showers and things like that, but postpartum planning often takes a back seat. Why do you think that? Because I know we talked about like people are not really having the resources, but what else do you think could factor into that?
I mean, I think part of it is the lack of understanding, like the lack of exposure that we have in the nuclear household families that most of us in North America live in right now. I think it's also because we have so much unknown, we have to start somewhere. We have to start learning somewhere, right? And the birth is something that we know is hard for most people. It's very emotionally, physically, and mentally intensive. And so I think that carries a lot of fear for people, even if they're not scared of birth in a way that would like prevent them from giving birth, but they worry about it, right? We hear bad birth stories all the time and people worry. And so they put so much effort into learning about the birth, preparing for a good birth, making sure that they're mitigating factors and interventions that they don't particularly want, perhaps. And sometimes I just think that takes us so long that there isn't as much time. And there is as much guidance. And talking about what the reality of postpartum looks like is less a part of our active conversation within, you know, the mommy groups, the birth world, those kinds of spheres where people are turning for information.
Yeah. And also, too, I think about how there's so many childbirth classes or like lactation classes and stuff like that, but you don't really know what to do postpartum wise. Like, they talk about, oh, this is the kit that you need for postpartum, but they don't really show you about, okay, this is how you're going to be feeling emotionally, this is how you're going to be feeling mentally. Like, it's going to be tough, but it's just like, postpartum lasts way longer than the birth. Like, the birth is like, you know, it's, you know, a couple hours, a little bit more than that, but that can impact your postpartum in the long run as well, depending on that.
And we find, I see a lot in childbirth education classes, you might have, you know, your pregnancy class, your labor and delivery class, your comfort measures class, and then they'll do like a family and feeding class or a postpartum class. So you get, you know, this is breastfeeding, this is bottle feeding, this is how you diaper a baby, this is how we install the car seat, right? Like, all very important stuff. But what I see talked about a lot less within those spaces is what you're pointing to, this mental and emotional journey that happens during postpartum. I'm starting to see more conversations around a concept called matrescence, which is literally the process of becoming a mother. I'm going to say mother and matrescence specifically, because I think that parents who identify in other kind of gender terms have their own journeys that do look very different, and there needs to be a different space for their conversations. But if we're talking about motherhood and matrescence specifically, like, the research is showing us that that transition to really become a mother, feel like a mother, identify as a mother, is a 2 to 3 year process to really feel grounded again in yourself and in your community, because every aspect of your life is changing, you know? Who you are as a person is changing. And so there's, you know, I find this like a really exciting conversation that's starting to come out of the research. Jesse Harold, who is a doula and a matrescence coach, just put out a new book on the topic, which is, it's an exceptional book, if I can just give Jesse a plug. But that's part of the journey that we're not preparing for, right? We're learning how to feed. All of that's super important and overwhelming in its own way, but there's this, all this other stuff happening at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's the surface of it all, like, you know, the diapers, the car seats and all that. Then it's just like, there's another layer, and like how you just mentioned, like, that's the layer that's getting missed. And so that's where everybody's like, what is going on? Like, I wasn't prepared for this. And it's just thinking how you talked about multi-generation, like some moms didn't even know what was going on during that time. So now that people are talking about it more, they're just like, whoa, I didn't know what that was back in the day. So it's just like,
right,
all becoming new and everything's just like out there now. And everybody's like, okay, like we have to figure this out because we don't want to operate in survival mode during this time when we're just like trying to enjoy it and be present, because that it impacts the rest of your life. Like if you don't enjoy it, it's just like you have to do the work to really figure out what you need and learn what that support means,
right,
like for you, which is whew, that's just, yeah, that's a whole, that we could talk about that all day. So what are some practical tips for navigating scientific studies about postpartum care?
Yeah, I think when I start working with people on reading scientific studies, I don't know if you saw this recently, but there was just kind of this big debate on Threads about whether or not lay people should be reading scientific studies, because the one side of the argument was, you know, people should have access to information, they should be able to learn. These are, you know, knowing how to read research should be a basic skill that we're all taught in public school, in my opinion. And the other side was, well, you need specialist knowledge to read this, so, you know, you shouldn't even try. And I sat there looking at this debate and being like, I'm not gonna chime in. That's not the space of social media that I engage in. But I think conversations like that really highlight the feeling that a lot of people have that they're not capable of reading a scientific study. And I think, yes, there's a learning curve to doing it. You have to learn how, right? It's not like, unfortunately, we don't write scientific studies to be nearly as engaging as, you know, your favorite novel. But I think all of us can learn how to do that. So I tell people to start by, I go to Google. Honestly, I go to Google Scholar. A lot of stuff is open access there. You can access it without hitting a paywall. And I tell people, read the abstract. Like, that is going to give you a summary. It's going to tell you whether or not, you know, you're looking for a study that includes people that look like you, so your age range, your background, as much as possible. And then you're looking whether or not that study is actually going to answer the question that you're trying to find an answer to. And so you don't have to read the whole thing, right? You start out reading the abstract, find out if it's going to have the information that you're looking for. And then there's, you know, a series, a process that we can go through really easily to find within that article the information that you need, while leaving out all the extra fluff that the researchers are putting in there for other researchers.
Yes, that is so true. Because even in college, I did research in a lab and I wrote papers, and I'm just like, it's a lot of like, they have to be specific as possible, but some of that stuff you really don't need, but it's because of that's the layout of it. So it's like how you said, the abstract, that's the best part to read. And then you can also look throughout, like skim it to see what facts that you want to take out. And at the bottom, you know, there's always cited sources, so you can look at the other ones. It goes like, you can go down a rabbit hole doing research.
Exactly. And I mean, things like, oftentimes, depending what discipline that the paper is coming from, there's going to be a section in that paper that explains the statistical analysis. You don't need to read the math. There will also be a discussion that like
explains where you talk about
what analysis means in real life, right? I mean, there are words you're going to have to learn. All of it, like medical jargon, is unfamiliar to most of us. And unfortunately, that's part of pregnancy and birth and postpartum. But really, taking it one step at a time, it's a learning process. And none of us do anything perfectly the first time that we do it.
Yeah. And I also think it's just important for you to do your own research as well, because sometimes someone can give you some bad advice and you're just like, okay, what? If you look it up, you're like, well, that really wasn't the best advice for me. And it's like, you have to figure out things in your own opinion of like what works. And I think that's why looking up things is just as important, just like how you can't just depend on TikTok and Threads and Instagram for information. You have to look up your research and do it on your own. So I think that's just,
I think it also depends, like for each of us, whether you're a birth researcher or a doula or a mom or however, whoever you are, we all take information from multiple sources, right? So every day we're doing things like getting opinions from friends or family, asking them for advice, hearing stories, turning to TikTok. And I'm not saying none of that is valuable. That is all very valuable information that you need to parse through and decide how it aligns with your values and what's meaningful to you. On the other hand, we have empirical information like research. And I liken it to the difference of like trying to get dressed for the day by looking out your window or looking at the weather forecast. So if I look out my window when I get dressed for the morning, that's kind of like basing my opinion on an epidural on an influencer's account, right? Like it's one person's version of what the day is going to look like and how I should get dressed. Whereas if I go to the weather forecast, we've taken all the statistical data, we've looked at all of these different data points, we've clarified potentially what the possibilities are. And so it's not going to tell us exactly what my experience is, but it's going to tell us the most likely possibility of what my experience is going to be. The most likely whether or not I need to wear my raincoat that day, right?
And I love how you bring it.
Yeah, so I think like you're also, I mean, you're going to, when you get dressed for the day, so you look at the weather forecast, but then you also take into account how you feel and what you like to wear and what you have going on that day. And so it's not all of one or all of the other. It's really like making an informed decision about your birth or your postpartum is taking that empirical information so you know what the possibilities are and weighing it against your personal values and context at the same time.
Yes, you hit it right on the head. Like, it's like they're not bad. It's just like you have to figure out how to make your own informed decision using both aspects of it. So I love how you made that connection, because sometimes people can think it's one or the other, but no, it can be both. Yeah. It's how you look at it, honestly. And what advice do you have for moms who didn't plan for postpartum and they are now struggling?
So it depends. Like every person struggles in their own way, right? Mm-hmm. One of the biggest, like when I am working as a postpartum doula and somebody reaches out to me and they're like, I had my baby last week. I don't know what I'm doing. I really need help. I always walk into that space ready to listen. I don't give any advice in the first meeting. I just wait to hear what they need to say and let them offload that. And then depending on what their struggles are, we start to map out their community. So if you have struggles with breastfeeding, if it's not something I'm qualified to help my client with, then we look for who in your community is qualified. Mm-hmm. Is there somebody close to you, like a personal connection that we can access? Do we need to look at getting in contact with a lactation consultant? Similarly, you know, I don't have any help overnight. What do I do for sleep support? Well, how old is your baby? What does sleep realistically look like for your baby? Is there somebody in your community, in your family, who can help you with this, who you can balance things with? Do we need to have a conversation with your partner about realistically how you can support each other if that's what we need to do? Or do we look at getting a sleep consultant? And so really, I start as much as possible with my clients during their pregnancy. We map out who their support community is. And that's not static. It's going to change. But we try to fill into that community, because I think whether that community is in person or virtual, I think that community is really what's going to sustain you beyond the first 6 weeks, beyond the first 6 months, beyond the first year.
I love that, mapping out your community, because community is key, okay? Because we all need community, and it doesn't always look the same for everybody. You know, sometimes people have, you know, family that's close. Sometimes it's like meeting people at the library or meeting someone at the park or something. Like, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there. It may be uncomfortable, like but exactly. Once you do it, you're gonna be like, wow, I'm glad I took that step.
And if you can, like, if you have the, and I know not everybody has this opportunity, but if you have the opportunity to start thinking about that during your pregnancy and making those connections, so reach out to a postpartum doula or a lactation consultant or a pelvic physio while you're still pregnant, before you have need of them. That way, if you are in crisis later on, if you are having a hard time, you already know who you're going to talk to. You're already going to have that relationship. And it's a lot easier to ask somebody for help when you're in crisis if you already know them in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I love it. And so my final question for you, what is your go-to self-care routine?
I I find that a lot of the moms that I work with feel that self-care requires them to spend money. So, you know, getting their nails done or getting a massage or buying a fancy water bottle or whatever, which for me, like, I totally appreciate for some people that is the best care and that's what they need. For me, my best self-care is putting on a podcast and cleaning my house. To be honest, if I can reset my space, then I can reset my brain and my body and relax within my own space. And that's, you know, not nearly as much fun as saying I go to a yoga class twice a week. But for me, like that deep clean of like, you know, everything gets out of the cupboards and all the cupboards get washed out and all of that. That for me is my ultimate form of self-care.
Oh my gosh, you sound like me a little bit. I tell my husband all the time, cleaning brings me joy. It just, exactly. I clean the floor and I just start grinning. And he's just like, why are you grinning about sweeping the floor? I'm like, because it's just something about cleaning that it just that does something.
When I finished my PhD, my gift to myself was I bought myself a fancy vacuum cleaner. And one of my friends was like, Kelsey, you have to buy yourself something fun. And I was like, you don't understand. This vacuum cleaner is so much fun.
Listen, oh my gosh. At least I know it's not just me because I love cleaning is dear to my heart. Like, that's what I'm going to do later on today. And I'm like, I'm just so excited to do it.
Exactly.
Well, how can the mamas connect with you?
So you can find me, my website is collectivecare.ca. You can find me on Instagram and on Threads at collectivecarehfx. Or you're always welcome to send me an email, which is info@collectivecare.
Oh, yay. So guys, be sure to connect with her. She is amazing. Thank you again for coming on, breaking down about the postpartum planning and how to make research accessible to them. And just so thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. This has been just an absolutely lovely way to spend my afternoon. Thank you so much.
Maybe you'll get some cleaning done a little later. All right, guys, till next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Navigating Postpartum Wellness Podcast. If you enjoyed it, I'd love for you to leave a review and share this podcast with a mom friend who needs encouragement. Be sure to join my email list at navigatingpostpartumwellness.com for more tips, updates, and resources to help you on your journey. I'll see you in the next episode.